As I told you yesterday, today, tomorrow, and the day after, we will be mostly focusing on Mathematica. Of course, I will be often using the blackboard because I have to explain the problems that we will be solving in Mathematica. But the main goal would be to try to make you proficient users of Mathematica by the end of the week, I hope. Okay, in the meantime, since we are going to do Mathematica, I know that some of you might be a bit faster in some of the problems, so if you don't want, if you are always waiting, I prepared here a problem for those who want to parallel compute, who want to do two things at the same time. Here is a nice puzzle which you can think a bit about, and if I have time, I might tell you the solution one day, maybe tomorrow or something. Okay? So this is the problem. If you have V of x is x to the L. L is some positive integer. Q is a polynomial of degree n. T is a polynomial. How to find these two polynomials knowing one equation for the two of them? And there are finitely many solutions. A priori, you might be surprised. It looks like you don't have enough information, but there is enough information to solve it. And there are finitely many solutions to this problem. Okay. I'm surprised. I can give you a hint that the way the solutions to this problem will resemble. Okay, no, can be brought to a form which resembles the electrostatic equilibrium positions that we saw in the harmonic oscillator. But okay, as I told you, this is just for those who already know how to use Mathematica efficiently and want to do something in the meantime. Okay, so today, one of the things we said we were going to do was to check a couple of commutation relations for the hydrogen atom problem. So we had some Hamiltonian, and which was spherically symmetric, and we wanted to check many commutation relations. The trivial ones, such that the Hamiltonian commutes with the angular momentum, etc., and the non-trivial ones, which involved some Runge-Lenz vector. Okay. So first, let's introduce a couple of definitions in our Mathematica. So let me choose some style sheet, natural color. It's funny, today the light is really hitting me in the eyes. Is it?
Can we just push back the table?
Sorry? I really cannot look at you. Okay.
Like this is okay.
Good. So what will we need? We need to define a couple of things before we start. For example, R, you remember, was spherical coordinates. Let us quit the kernel. We might have stuff. Quit kernel, local, and we quit the kernel. Now R is blue. And let's define R, which is square root of x squared plus y squared plus z squared. Okay? Let's define also a vector of the coordinates of the problem, x's, which is the vector x, y, z. Okay? So this is the first two definitions. So we want to introduce the magnitude of the radius and the three coordinates x, y, z. Now, what else do we need? We will need the epsilon symbol. We will need the epsilon such that epsilon 1, 2, 3 is equal to 1, etc. So how can we define the epsilon symbol? Well, the epsilon symbol is just signature. So if you have signature, just the signature of the order of three elements. For example, signature of 1, 3, 2. This gives minus 1. You see? This is exactly what you need. The signature is then minus 1 to the number of transpositions that you need to bring the elements to the canonical order. So signature of 1, 2, 3. It's 1. Signature of 1, 2, 2. It's 0. So this is exactly the object that we want. Okay, so epsilon is nothing but the object signature. Okay? So how do we define it? How do we define this epsilon? Let me try to move some other place, not to become blind. Okay. How do we define epsilon? We can just say that epsilon of A, B, and C is signature of A, B, and C. This is one possibility. epsilon of A, B, and C is equal to signature of A, B, and C. And we put here, we can put this to say that, we must put this to say that Mathematica should only compute the signature once I tell her what is A, B, and C. Okay? If at some point you are falling behind, let me know. Tell me, you are going too fast or 1 second, and I'll give you some time. So this will work. If I dial now epsilon of 1, 2, 3, I get 1. And if I have epsilon of 3, 1, 2, I get minus 1. Okay? Is it okay? Now, there is what does this symbol mean? This A with an underscore means a variable. Right? Some variable. It doesn't need to be an A, of course. It can be whatever. That's why I put here a 1, for example. But you see that what will happen is that here we'll have 3 variables, and we will put them here. 3 variables. Okay? So why not to tell Mathematica that instead of one variable, we might decide to put more than one? But this we can do. If we want to say that eventually it might be more than one variable, we just need to do, we put just A, we put just signature of A. Now, this would not work because A is only one variable. So if I just define this in this way, she will not know what to do. Let's try. We clear epsilon. And now when I run epsilon, she doesn't know because I only told her how to act when there is only one variable. But to do it, we put 2 underscores. And 2 underscores means that the number of variables that I put here can be 1 or many. And now with 2 underscores, she knows that it's minus 1. Okay? So this is the difference between 1 underscore and 2 underscores. 2 underscores, I can put more than one variable. Okay? So the second definition is, of course, more economical. Okay, so let me just copy here all the definitions that we have now.
Does one take execution before?
Sorry?
One take execution before?
No. Why would it be slower?
Because first it has to check how many.
No. Like this, she just knows. Epsilon, when you put something there, just put that something here. And this can be more than one variable. I don't see any reason for it to be stored. Because signature is an object which takes some list, right? And checks if the list is ordered or not and how many times she has to change the list. But if I give her signature of 1, 2, 3, she doesn't know, you see. It even starts to be red. This is not what signature likes. Signature doesn't like numbers. She likes a list. Right? So I need... But I'm not giving a list here. So I need to put it inside the list. Yes? It's clear? Okay. Let's define now some operators. Let's define some operators. For example, the operator momenta in some direction I, okay, which will act on something, some function f. Okay, so this notation is a notation that I can use. You see, I'm saying that I have p1 acting on f. So I'm defining these two brackets. I'm defining a function pi which acts on f at the same time. Okay? Is this confusing? What is pi? 1 over I, of course, square root of minus 1, times scape, partial derivative, scape, with respect to what? To the coordinate number I, xi, of f. Right? And because I only want her to evaluate this when I tell her what is I, otherwise she will not know. It's element number I, but she doesn't know what is I, doesn't know if it's 1, 2, or 3. I want to delay the evaluation as usual, and I put the two dots here. Double brackets is the element. It's the element. It's the position of the element. So if I have x, x, and now I want escape, bracket, bracket, escape, 1. It's the first element. It's x. Okay, so it's the derivative with respect to x, y, or z. By taking the element 1, 2, or 3, I take derivative with respect to x, y, and z. This is the same as xx, bracket, bracket, 1. Okay? This notation is the same.
What kind of brackets are around I?
The same as this. You see, it's exactly the same as this.
Two of those.
Two of those. And to make them nice, you can click escape in the beginning and escape after the two of them. And then they collapse into this nice one. Okay? Let's create a test function. Yes? What's the difference between this and square bracket of I comma f? Let's do both and see what would be the difference. Okay. So let's let's do both. Let's define this p, and I'm sorry. How? What's your name?
Jan.
And as Jan was saying, let's do p of I comma f. Let's define capital P. It's exactly the same, and let's understand what would be the difference in practice of these two definitions. So capital P and small p. Let's check that it works. So let's create a test function, f, which can be some function, say, g of x, y, and z, some generic function. Because to check commutators, we act on some test function. We apply the commutator to some test function, check that it's zero. So this function will be useful. This is some test function. And let's check what happens when I apply P1 to F. And I get just minus I derivative with respect to the first argument of G. It's exactly what I expect. Right? It's just moment. And I can, of course, apply P1 comma F with capital P, and I get exactly the same thing. So they are equivalent, of course. Why I prefer the first one? Because I will want to do something like this, for example. Apply P1 to F in this way. You see? Now I can do it. And with the other one, I cannot. With a capital P, it would be, I would have to introduce something else. Okay? Is this clear, the difference? Why this one is might be slightly better? Because we can do these kind of things. So if we will want to use commutators, we will want to do apply P and then H minus apply H and then P. So it's useful to have some notation where we can apply directly in this way. Okay? So this was P. Let's now introduce the Hamiltonian. So let me delete this second definition. We understood that the first one might be more practical because we can use this at symbol. Yes? That this function here? I'm sorry. What's your question?
Can you just define the derivative operator?
This is what P is, right?
Yeah, but without the function f, like using some test function.
But this f is a variable. It's not this small f, right? This f here is I'm defining it for acting on something. Let me see if I understand your question. For example, here I could define it in some other way. I could put this symbol here and here. And then I could just do this. Pi is this. Yeah? Okay, very good. So this is another possibility. Yeah, this is even more elegant, maybe. Okay? Pi. So let me write the one which was there before, and let me write this one. This is one way of defining it. And another way would be just Pi is the function. Which does this. Okay? So let's check that this one also works. Let's clear all P and define it, and then let's run it, and it is the same. Let's define the Hamiltonian as well. The Hamiltonian is equal. We can use the notation that Peter was proposing to use this symbol instead of putting some function. So the Hamiltonian is minus 1 over 2m slash partial derivative with respect to what? With respect to the coordinate I, two derivatives, okay, of the argument. Then I will sum from I equal 1 up to 3. Okay? This will be the momentum term. Okay? Plus, or minus rather, e squared over r times the function. Okay? Is the operator second derivative, sum over the derivatives, right? It's p squared, dx squared plus dy squared plus dz squared. Okay. Is everyone having, is someone having trouble entering these symbols? Okay. We can put some semicolons at the end. And now we can try Hamiltonian acting on F. And this gives this. Escape, sum, escape. To the bottom, control equal.
This didn't escape sum t escape and it gives you all the parts.
Yes, that's another possibility, yes. Escape sum. Yeah, if you do escape. Okay, can I go on? Let's define now the angular momenta. Li. What is Li? 1 over I, again. And now we will do epsilon ijk, right? X component j, and then derivative component k. Let's copy this, put here, and put k here. Acting on whatever. Okay? And now we just need to sum over j and k. So let's copy this sum symbol, put it here, and change I to j, and add another one for k. Okay? Use copy-paste.
Is there a reason that you use the colon equals for t and l, but not for h?
No, I don't need it for any of them. I don't need to use for any of them. This is one example where I don't need to do it because I am using this notation. Why? Because this defines the function p, which is this function. It's the and Mathematica knows it's a function. But if I would tell him, or her, if I would tell her, to do, if I put here f And then if I would put here F, okay, and I would make, let's make clear all P. Now she will compute this, the right-hand side, immediately. But if she will compute the right-hand side right away, she will have some trouble because F doesn't depend on anything, so she would get zero. So in this case, I would have to delay, but once I tell her that it's a function, I don't. Because functions are delayed by definition. They are stuff which is made to act later on something. Okay, did everyone enter L? So the last one, you can start entering the last one, which was M. You can go to the notes if you want. Now M, let me write here in text mode what M is. So M was the vector. Let's write it. M was equal to, I remind you, 1 over 2M. And then because it was quantum mechanics, I had told you that it was M P times L minus L times P. Let's write here the vector what it was, minus L times P minus E square over R times the vector R. Vector R. Good. Okay? So this was this vector, so we want to enter this vector as well. So now it's useful to use P and L, which we defined already. So let's use M of I is equal 1 over 2M. Then we have again a vector product between P and L. So we will have again a sum. Let's copy this J, this double sum here. We copy it here, this double sum. And then we have epsilon I j k as before. Okay? And then let's put a bracket here. Pj acting on Lk, which acts on whatever I will give her. This is the first term. Minus P of k. Minus Lj. Pk. Okay. So if this was it, this will define only this first part here, right? P wedge L as operators, they act on something. And now I have minus E square over R times component number I times whatever it is. So, let me scroll down a bit. Please tell me whether it is clear or not that this M defines precisely this M here. I'm being a bit brave here with brackets. I think it's okay. If someone will not work, we will start putting some parentheses. But I think it's okay. It's a bit dangerous, yeah. But I think it's good. So you see that this notation was extremely useful. If I were to put brackets, this would be a huge mess. I would put here Lk of k, comma, this argument, and then P of j, comma, this huge argument, right? It will become extremely cluttered. Can I zoom out a bit? If I put this zoom, is it still readable? Or you prefer the other one? Okay. Tell me if you prefer the other one. Okay. Can I move on to the checks now? This was just we just introduced P, Hamiltonian angular momenta, and this Runge-Lenz vector. Okay. And we also defined, let's also put here in the definitions, f to be some test function of x, y, and z. Of x, y, and z. Okay, so these are all our definitions. Okay? Plus the epsilon. So do you allow me to clean a bit the notebook? Please? Okay. So let's check some relation. Let's check, for example, the ones which must work. For example, that the Hamiltonian commutes with the angular momenta. This one I didn't even try here. Okay, but it will. Let's see. Let's try. Let's say Hamiltonian acting on L1 minus, sorry, acting on some test function f minus L1 acting on the Hamiltonian acting on some on the test function f. So this here is the commutator. I probably should zoom in a bit, I think. So this here would be the commutator of h with the first component of the angular momenta. So we can run it, and this is what we get. Doesn't look very zero. So we should simplify it. And then it looks like zero. Okay? Okay, what we can do is, to have something which looks a bit nicer, we can say, did everyone check commutation of Hamiltonian with angular momenta? Okay, good. So let's, what is the problem? Mm-hmm. So in the sums, you should have probably some... What is what are you some J and the second index? It should be K, right? If you get some errors like one cannot be used as an iterator, etc., go to the code and check the colors. You see here I have I and I is blue. I is not being used. J and K are being used in this sum. They appear as green. So colors helped us the debug and see immediately what iterators we used wrongly. Sure.
Because I just got like the symbols operating on each other.
Huh? Can you turn the computer to my side? I think you didn't, because you didn't run the cell with the Hamiltonian.
My colors are not matching up. Here, I think they should be green. Here, they should be green.
I? What are these indexes here?
J, K.
J and K. Funny. Why is this not? There's something wrong with some characters. I see there are some funny characters here, I think. There's some space or something, but Matt is not understanding.
Ah.
No, but that one, did it change the color? No, it's still wrong. do like this. Do really sum. This is some stupid space. You see, there is some character. Mathematics is not being able to interpret this expression. You can write explicitly with sum and then convert to nice notation, and she will put it. When copy pasting, you inserted some space by mistake. There is something funny here. This parsing sometimes doesn't work very well. So if you try, you have the same.
I think so. This eye is blue, and the rest of them are green.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's good.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I doesn't like the way I define my functions. I think I know maybe what I did, because when I added some t, I
try writing the sums explicitly. Sum, padana, comma, I, 1, 2, 3. Ah, when is it some t? Okay, I see. So you inserted that sum inside the...
In the wrong... Wait, I should insert it inside, right?
Yes. You didn't?
I didn't.
Ah, okay.
I'm getting this.
I can't find the problem in this expression statement.
There is a minus missing. I don't know. Sorry. Hamilton here. The angular momentum, where is it? Here. You have something wrong with R, probably. Where is R defined? My guess is that... No, not R. X's. What are the X's? Can you go to the vector X's? Probably you have something like X, X, Y. No, X, Y, Z.
Yeah. Good pickup.
Okay, so the symmetry was broken between X and Y, so... Okay, yeah.
I don't know why I'm getting that.
Your epsilon is not running.
Yeah.
You didn't. Your epsilon is not working. Where is the epsilon defined?
You have the double underscore.
I said clear.
You don't have epsilon. You don't have a underscore. Oh. You don't have two underscores here.
What if the two underscores do?
You can put more than one argument there.
It's just, that's all it means.
Yeah, two underscores means you can put any number of arguments. Okay, did everyone manage to check commutation relation of the angular moment? Sorry?
I don't know why it's a simple
one. Yeah, it's okay.
Look.
There is a strange underscore here.
All right.
No, you should put sum and the function ends here. The
oh, okay, sure. Okay. So I guess I did that wrong in all the definition of all the other functions.
Something's still wrong. One cannot be used as an iterator. So now the other thing is that you have I here and you are summing over I here. This is an I, right? Here you want a j. But this is not used, but probably you have this, my guess that you probably have the same mistake here, exactly. You have I here, and here you are summing over I, but you have sum over j.
Ah, okay, right.
Sorry, not capital J.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You want to check the relations for the three components, not only for one. Let's do it now. Okay. Is it okay for, is everyone happy? No? What's not working?
The sums? Is the,
no, they're green, but it says incomplete expression.
But which one is wrong? Try copy it to a different cell to see which one, to see if it's that one. It's not that one, so it's probably L. No. So it's H. Let's see, there's something that's wrong with H. Yes, it's not.
Same thing.
Okay, so as Bruno was saying, let's try to check not one component of the angular momentum, but all components. Okay, so that's simple. We just put I here, and we make a table where I runs from 1 to 3. Yeah, but why? No, it will not print. No, inside cycle it will not print. No. Right, so this would be an example of how we would check this one. Now, the way we will do to make it a bit nicer is, let's put a 0 equal. Instead of checking that it's 0, let's check that 0 is equal to this. And we run and we get true. Okay? And now let's do something interesting. Let's see what is the full form of this. Okay? Or rather, let me call this something, table, and let me see what's the full form of table. The full form of table is list with three arguments, which are true, and true. Okay, not extremely surprising, right? I could also ask what is exactly the same information, but just so that you see again this function, what is the tree form of table? And again, it's a list with true, and true. Okay, so the two ways of seeing, either list of true, or tree form of table. Okay. I hope that everyone has a table with true, right? By now, right? No? Okay, so now, but let me just finish what I want to do now. What I want to do here is replace this word list by and. I want to check that the three relations are true. So I want to replace this word list by and. I want to replace this word here list by hand. And in this, no, not hand, and. Right? I want to replace it by and. And then I have true. And it will give true. And it's just one true for the three. Now, what is this object here? It's the godfather, right? It's the head. It's the boss. So if you have an expression and you want to replace the boss by something else, you apply at to that. So what you do is, I want to replace the boss, it's a revolution, by and. And we apply and to table. And it will take the boss list and put there instead table. And now when we run, we get a single true. Okay? So who didn't get that true?
Oh, I changed it in here.
No, but here there is something strange here, right?
Yeah.
true, true, and then the third one. No, you epsilon. Is the epsilon not working? Can you try to run some epsilon of 1, 2, 3?
Yeah, that worked.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay, so let's see. Can I see go? Can you run again this line? Maybe it was. And the next one. Specification I is neither an integer nor a list of integers. Sorry, can I? So the problem is H. I apply, here you have, in H, mm-hmm. you have I equal I up to 3 instead of I equal 1 up to 3.
Ah.
So what's the end? This thing,
it replaces the head of table, which was list, by end. The head of table was list. This is the head of the expression. It's when you make tree form, is what appears here. And it replaces this by hand. This operation, at means replace the head by end. End is, if you have end, it's the operation and the logical operation. Right? 1 equal to 1, 2 equal to 2, it's true. It's end of true and true is true, end of true and false is false, right? Just logical. Yes? Okay. So our check can be summarized in the following way. We have this table, okay? And then we apply end to its head, and we got just this true. So this is an economical way of checking the commutation of the angular momentum. Okay. Now let's check that the angular momenta. Okay, let's check that the angular momenta commutes to give the angular momenta again. Let's check the commutation relation of the angular momenta. So let's again we apply L I apply to L J apply to F. Minus LJ applied to LI applied to F. This should be what should it be? It should be I epsilon IJK LK acting on the test function. This is the commutation relation of the angular momentum. And here there is, of course, a sum from k equal 1 up to 3. And now I want to make a table where I runs up to 3 and j runs up to 3. And I want to simplify it. So let's put here inside the table a / simplify. And I get many truths. True, 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 true. So I get that the 9 conditions are all satisfied. L1 with L2 gives L3, etc. Did someone get this?
Is there
something you can do instead of the and instead of the double at if you have like a more branches like this one?
Exactly. So now we have more branches. We want to remove them. We want to apply communism to this table, right? So this is the operation flatten. It removes all the brackets and it transforms this into a vector of just truth. So I apply flatten add to this and now I get just a vector of truth. And after having applied the flatten, I can apply the end, replace the head by end. And now I run it and I get just true. Is this clear? Did everyone got this? Did everyone get this? Okay. Did everyone get this working here? Did someone not get it yet? But the other ones worked before? Okay, so it will. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, you see, I have some epsilon here outside. So this means that some in some point.
At some it works point, out.
How could it be the epsilon? This is with L. This is the problem with L. L epsilon I J K.
You have an extra epsilon in the L.
Oh, I do.
Ah. So it was working before because it was linear in epsilon, right?
Yeah.
Because we're checking something which was. Now it's quadratic in epsilon, it shouldn't. Good. You can just go and run the last one. Yeah. Okay, so once you get all the truths, you flatten it to get a vector of truths, and then you apply and to get just one single truth. Yes?
I still don't get a big difference between
at and at?
Yeah.
It's very different. So at replaces the head by some. So let's apply it. So we have some list. Let's see the difference between at and at. A and B. I apply F to that. I get this. F of the list. If I apply F at the list, I get F of AB. I replace the head, which was the list, by F. It takes off the head and replaces the head by a new head. It can be many things. For example, I can have, for example, imagine I have A, B, and C. The head of this is list. Or I have, for example, F of A, B, C. Again, if I ask what is tree form of this, it's F with three arguments, A, B, and C. And now instead of F, I want times. And I replace F by times. And now I get the product of the three, A, B, C. Right? So it really is, it goes and replaces the head by something. Okay. So now that we have this function, let's automatize it a bit. Let's create a function which we can call check, which is applied to some expression S, or we, yeah, okay, which is applied to some expression S, and what it does is, it does this. I just erased the commutation for the angular moment and put S instead. It will pick S, put it there, simplify it, run some indices I and J from 1 to 3 and J from 1 to 3. Okay? So we should always use indices I and J, and this is what it does. Yeah?
Would it be okay to not have a function? So if I just have F and it's not defined as G of X, Y, and Z?
Then it will not work because the derivatives will just give 0 directly. Yes. It assumes it doesn't depend on X, Y, and Z. Okay, so this would be the function check. And let's try to apply check to the angular momentum relations. I think it doesn't work. But let's see. Let's apply now check to the angular momentum relations. Okay. And it didn't work. If I now make simplify, I think it will. No? No. Okay. I know. Yeah. Okay. So the point is the following. When we give her this expression, she is evaluating it immediately. She is evaluating what I put inside check immediately. And then she is doing what I asked her here. And now I have a problem because I'm using the letters I and J. And inside the definitions of else, I also use the letter J and K in sums. So she's getting confused and doing some rubbish. So what I want to do is there are two options. Either I don't use the letters I and J, or I tell her not to evaluate immediately the argument, but rather wait and do it in the same way that we did before. So plug it when it is time to check. Don't plug it yet and open it, and then you have eyes floating around, and then you start moving eyes, and everything gets confused. Okay? Yeah. To do that, we have to change the attributes of the function f. Of the function check. So we do attributes of check equal to hold first. Hold first means the first argument, hold it till it's put inside check. Do first assign values I and J. First choose what I and J are. For example, I is equal to 1, J is equal to 2. After deciding what I and J are, you can evaluate this. But you cannot put this for general I and J here and then assign values I and J. Because if you put here for general I and J and then choose values I and J, there will be I and J is here, but also in the sums which define these objects. So what I want to do is, I is equal to 1, J is equal to 3. Put here 1, put here 3, and then use the previous definitions. So first I want her to tell me what I and J is, and only later I want her to simplify. I don't want her first to try to simplify this and then put I and J. Yes?
Would it make sense to put the attributes after you define the function? I mean, like, if you're going to run the whole thing, would it get confused, or would it
set? No, it will not. So we could do it whatever order we want. We just define attribute check equal hold first, and then we can ask, we can put question mark check, and it will tell us, this is a function check, this is how it is, and these are its attributes. And if I would define in the opposite order, if I would define in this way, and then run check, she would give me exactly the same thing. Yes?
Would it still be okay with the attribute going from that to the function?
Yes. Yes, yes. So let's do it. I clear all. That's actually the subtle difference between clear all and clear. If I clear check, and I ask what is check, she knows the attributes of check. They are still here. So I could actually have defined just the attributes and then decide the function. And if I would do clear all of check, then she would know nothing about check. So I could run first this and then the definition. Okay? I know this point is a bit subtle. Again, so I want Mathematica to tell me what is I and J. It's 1 and 1, for example. And once I know what I and J are, they are two numbers. I put the two numbers here and then I use the definitions of L. Okay? This is the safe way to be sure that we will not be messing around, because inside this L there is some J, and then Mathematica starts to put J to whatever she wants instead of the values of the sum. Hold first means hold the first argument of check. There's only one argument, so it is holding that argument. And there is also attribute hold last. And there's nothing for if you want to hold arguments in the middle. You have to change software. Okay? So Mathematica can hold first and can hold last. Okay. And now, I hope, I will run check and it will work. And it gives me true. Okay? Now, what's interesting is that we can now define here a table of things that we want to check. Let's put to check. And to check is a list of and. Now, this is the first one. The other one, we can go and copy-paste the other one, that H commutes with L. Notice, this only has index I. And I will make a table over I and J, but who cares? I mean, I'm just going to check this relation three more times. It's not like I'm increasing the complexity. I'm just checking it three more times. Okay? And now I could check, is this one true and this one true? Is this line true and this line true? I want to check this. Okay, so let's check what we want to check. And it doesn't work. Ah, here. Good, thank you. At F. And now we want to check what we want to check, and it's true. Both relations are true. Okay, so now it starts to be extremely economical. We just have to add stuff to this list of things we want to check, and then just run this line here. And this tells us whether those relations are true or not. Again, here, this I want to vary only I, and in my definition I'm varying I and J, so this relation I'm checking three times more, but I mean, it's 1 millisecond or 3 milliseconds, who cares? If it will take time, I would do it in a more optimized way. Okay, does everyone have this function working? Check, apply to to check, and working? Let's try. Let's write all the trivial ones. The other trivial ones that I said were the ones which were telling us that vectors rotate as vectors. And they were very similar to this one for L. So we just copy-paste L. And the only difference is that we can replace this L by P. And put here P. Or we can replace this L by M. And put here M. So if we did no mistake, because P and M are vectors, they should rotate as vectors, and this relation should also be true. Okay? And now we have this list of things to check. Okay? And we can run it and ask to check, and it is true. Okay? But these were all the trivial relations. I think all these relations were more or less the trivial ones. Okay. Did everyone get this true here on check after check? Who is having problems? But before it was working when we had only two relations?
Yeah, like.
Okay, let's see. 0, L, dot F, argument, J3,
no,
there is something. Yeah. Before it was working?
No,
so which relation is not working?
One of these two.
Probably the one, this M, L, M, and here you should put M and P. Where is check defined?
It's probably the delay.
In Spanish speaking countries, you do not check
right? It was a J. Can you try again? A bit better. Which one is not working? But the second one?
Yeah.
The first one is probably working, right? Because you checked it here. You checked it here, so it's the other one. It's H. So there is something wrong in H, maybe some sign? Yeah. Ah, good. Just one sec. Huh? Yes? Who was asking me?
What? What the term? Attributes?
Yeah.
The good word?
No. Wait, every time you enter something, you have to press return.
No.
See?
Okay, so so these were the trivial ones. Let me just enter the non-trivial ones and we go for the break. So what were the non-trivial ones? The non-trivial ones were that the Hamiltonian commuted with M. So we replace L by M. This was a non-trivial one. Another non-trivial one was that L is orthogonal to M, so 0 is equal to the sum from k equal 1 up to 3 of LK applied to MK applied to some test function. It was the opposite order was also true, we claimed yesterday. So M with L is also true. And then there was a commutation relation for M with M. Let's go here and copy L with M because it was similar. It was just M with M. Okay? M with M was giving us here minus 2 over M. And that Hamiltonian, sorry, acting on LK, right? You remember? Then this object, minus 2m, this here was what we defined this square root. 1 over this square root we absorbed in m. This is another relation. And finally, we have this relation for m square and the Hamiltonian, which is that the sum over k equal 1 up to 3, mk applied to mk, this is m square, applied to some test function, minus 2 over m, h applied to lk, which is applied to lk, which is applied to some test function, minus 2 over m, h applied to a test function, is equal to e to the 4 times the test function. This takes a bit longer, and everything is true. Okay? So these are the non-trivial relations. Okay, it took a bit longer than I thought, but we checked here all the relations that we wanted to do, so you see how in an efficient way you can just create a list of things that you want to check and then check them all using some function which we designed, which is prepared specifically designed for checks. And we checked all these relations. Okay, let's continue in 15 minutes or something.
Okay.
If you do any mistake of any sign or something, immediately will not get through. It's hard to do sign mistakes if you check.
Thank you, Mama.
What's the situation here?
Yeah.
This was m squared, l squared. It was a relation between the one which you used that last step, right? That energy was related to l squared plus m squared. So it came from this. Some more k just to square them.
Makes me want to kill people. So yeah, it's not very
good.
This is
my
right problem.
This is
next slide, not my problem. It's a problem that you want for 2 but didn't want for 4.
I just made a
So for the next half of the morning, go to the intranet, to the wiki, and download the file su3.notebook, which I put there. .env. So download the file su3.notebook. Ah, put the full equation applied to F. You could, let me show you.
Did you just delete F from everywhere here?
Sorry?
Did you delete F from everywhere here?
No. No, but you could define the function. No, no, that would not work. But you could put this symbol. This symbol. This symbol, and now you would finish, right? Say this. Yeah, because I passed to the other side. It was equal, equal zero. Now this.
No, it's not equal.
Now this must be applied to f, and then it's equal to zero. So everything before, I define a function, right, which is all this, and then that function I apply to f. I think this should work. But maybe it will not. I think it will. Yeah. But I don't know. It's so long, it's probably some problem. I think you forgot an H acting on L, which acts on L. No. That part looks right, yes. Now try to abort. So to abort it's apple alt dot, I think. Yeah. And try to remove a couple of lines and see which line is making it slower. It's if you will enter something wrong, she might take ages to try to simplify because the result is not zero. In that case, it's useful to abort, which is alt dot, remove some lines, see which one is making it slow, and then putting everything back.
So when I have these two first ones, and when I do this, it's true. But then when I insert these two, and this, I don't know why it doesn't work, because it's not hard. Because it's just the same. I just copied.